just a little further north.
Oh, beautiful.
Well, for those of you that have showed up, welcome. We're going to start the meeting. And I will take a motion to approve the minutes, if anybody would like to make a motion.
I'll make the motion.
Any comments about the minutes? All in favor say aye.
Aye. All right.
Moving right along. We've got updates from Clark County Solid Waste Program. Who wants to start?
First, a quick roll call. Kent Meyer is out today. He won't be able to attend, and Simone will be showing up a little bit late. And Jason should be here. He might just be running away from something else, but I haven't heard that he would otherwise not show up. And we've been emailing back and forth lately, so I assume he'll be here shortly. Family emergency came up for Travis, so he won't be able to be here tonight. Jessica Fishberg also, something emergency came up, so she won't be here tonight as well. And then we had a snap here, so my son's here. This is Aiden. It must be the trend going on. And then even Melissa, she just barely made it down from Seattle today. So, but we're here. We can all breathe.
Yes.
Something new we thought we would do is we sent out that document that had the updates. So instead of just going, instead of taking a long time to go through all the things that, all the great work that all of our programs are doing, we just sent it ahead of time and then maybe just cover some highlights or ask if anybody has any questions. Were there any questions about this? Did you like this format where we can just send it ahead of time for you?
Yeah, I thought it was good to be. It was nice to be able to click on the links and get background info that I was like, oh, what's that program or what's that? So I found that pretty helpful.
Awesome. And Amber put this together, so kudos to Amber for the links are make it fantastic.
Mm-hmm. It would be nice to have the county parks people folded into this too, because they do a lot of solid waste pickup, cleaning.
Yeah, some of the litter program work that they do. I just wanted to cover just maybe one bullet from each of these. So we do have a new grant through the Department of Ecology. We'll be receiving $60,000 for contamination. And so this will fund our residue study that we do every year to analyze our contamination and our recycling, as well as outreach before and after the cart tagging that Waste Connections is doing.
So, question. Is that residue study? Is that what we went over last meeting? Is that?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, the thing that I presented. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's hard to think back through.
Yeah, I know. And then with the cart tagging and outreach, about what percentage of the population are we trying to target with the cart tagging, or do we have a goal, or?
Yeah, do you
want to
speak to that about?
Ballpark, it's an effort to do about half of the population.
Okay.
Whether or not we get, one of the things we talked about is in our City of Vancouver agreement and Clark County agreement, we put an actual number in there to make it an accountability thing. But we've also understood that it may not make sense to hit that number. It may make more sense to hit fewer people better.
Yeah,
more thorough. Find the target market and then really be intense on that group. Not as intense on people who are already doing it right.
Mm-hmm.
And we just don't know where that's going to land yet. We've looked in about, Joseph sent me the numbers, 3,000 or 4,000carts just in the last month. So that was only on organics at this point.
And then Green Neighbors, they had a great Green Neighbors birthday event, including Councilor Temple Lentz being there. Four green businesses have been certified, and now they can also do an online request form to get resources, which is fantastic. Hawkinson now has a milk dispenser, so I think we've talked about the milk dispenser program before. So it's great to see another school having that. The School for the Blind now has Dream Team, and workshops are moving ahead with our master composter recyclers and with great attendance. And on the operations side, Bonneville Dam was closed for some maintenance for some time, but we were able to work with that, and we were able to get waste eventually moving through.
Was that just a lot of trucking then, I would assume, instead of barge?
Yeah, yeah.
They had a failure with one of their logs.
Yeah.
I saw it.
And then I was like a tugboat thing.
Yeah.
It was fun.
I attended that WaferTech green business thing, and that was well attended and very interesting. I had no idea what they were doing out there in Camas, hidden in the hills.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we had a great medication take-back event, and Jessica was going to be talking about how the new medication stewardship legislation would be implemented soon, and kind of what the timeline is looking like, since that's going to be related to these take-back events. But she'll go ahead and wait till our next meeting to share what she has put together. And she'll also be sharing about the paint take-back program.
Any questions for Kim?
About how often are we doing the medication take backs?
I think they are once a year.
Once a year.
Twice? Currently twice a year. April and October. Okay.
I've noted that they publicize that really well, but you could drop off, they have a slot machine at Legacy Pharmacy in the B building. And you can put your pills in there, spin the wheel, and they disappear. And you can do that anytime. You don't have to wait till a particular pickup time.
There was no wood waste there at the time of our inspection.
There were no compliance issues, but while following up with that, I took pictures, and part of the notice of intent process, Rich commented, like, isn't this the thing site, the compost place? And so I was able to provide Rich and City of Vancouver with pictures from that August inspection that indicates they don't have any new wood waste material coming in, but they are processing the concrete and asphalt, which they have done historically under their DNR, Department of Natural Resource Permit, and their sand and gravel permit with ecology. So that's kind of where that is. We're waiting for the City of Vancouver to give their, I think they've asked for some information about traffic, and Leo's responded to that, and I'm waiting for information from Greg Turner to see if that's been met to the city's satisfaction, or if there's anything outstanding, but that's the only outstanding issue. Are there any questions about?
They're regrinding that concrete and asphalt for reuse then?
For reuse and recycling. My understanding is that it comes from there, and Leo, you can correct me if I'm wrong, that it comes from Tappany Project. It isn't just another company bringing it in. It's really from their own projects, and then they reutilize that for other projects, not necessarily at Section 30, but other Tappany projects in the county. Is that accurate?
Mostly. It's, so on the Washington State specifications, as long as you crush that down to meet the same gradation as the state spec rock, that can be reused as a rock alternate product on construction projects. So it's not just having projects that are reusing it or reselling it to the general public as well.
But coming in is only coming in from your project?
That's the vast majority is our own projects, but we do accept it from some other contractors as well.
So from the exception, it doesn't necessarily, if they could open it up to a just moment at this time. So that's the Section 30 update. We have a lot of these exempt facilities. Rachi has the North County, which is adjacent to Section 30 materials. They also have similar activities there that we are working through the notice of intent process with ecology, and Nikki in Clean Water for City of Vancouver has some concerns and awaiting response from Rachi on the stormwater perspective. So then once we hear back from her, we'll move forward on that one. Hagen Shaw is a small location in the city of Camas at 636 3rd. It's just right outside the main gate of the Georgia Pacific Mill in Camas, if you're familiar with that area. It came to our attention from one of our approved exempt facilities that they too were processing concrete and asphalt. And so we've gone through all the steps with them through City Washougal, and they are now approved as an exempt facility. While I was there, and then also another site, I was advised of another location in Washougal called Columbia. And Derek Rackett and myself went out there on the 29th of October. We met with them. They have Southwest Clean Air permits already approved through the city of Washougal. So we're awaiting their notice of intent application. We'll send that out for multi-agency review. But since they've already crossed off a lot of the other check marks, I'm hopeful that it won't be problematic. Watley update. Last meeting we discussed Watley Pit at the city or at the Clark County decamp facility. We have from public health, we've had the wonderful opportunity to meet with one-on-ones with our assistant county manager, our county manager, now each of our counselors regarding this activity, and trying to explain to them the difference between the permitted upper yard and then the activities that are going on in the Department of Natural Resource lower yard, and explaining the difference of those, and really inviting that Public Works and the county continue to work with ecology to develop a plan. To date, I have not, when I spoke with the person director from ecology last Friday, they had not yet submitted a plan, which I thought that that was in process. So I don't really have an update other than it's probably escalating, I think would be the best update. And then my final update, Brian Schlottman is our new program manager, as you know. He is very energetic and enthusiastic and optimistic, which is great. he has convinced me to actually really start the code update, which is something that we have talked about, I think, for like 20 years. So we had a draft back in 2005 before I was in solid waste enforcement, but it never got brought to fruition just because of the political climate. But with the changes of the WAC update, we really feel that we really do need to update the code. It's very outdated. It does not address many of the things that we have to deal with in solid waste. So as the solid waste enforcement program, our current code doesn't talk to things like citizens who don't properly store their garbage. What's the enforcement of that? And how do we collect on that? And how do we get those fees? And where does that money go? Does it go to an abatement fund? Does it go to general fund? Does it go, where does it go? None of that is really worked out for this program. Brandon and I have looked at a lot of different counties and their codes and what works based on the 16 years that I've been in public health and what kinds of complaints we've gotten, what kinds of things would be good to add into the code. And we really looked at Snohomish County's code, and I can have Kim send out a link to that if you're interested. But their code addresses really everything from dead animals to household garbage and garbage service requirements and kind of the full gamut of complaints that we get. And then they have a separate code that just says, and everything regarding WAC 173-350. So we're trying to take our existing code, strike out, and add, and it's very confusing, to say the least, of how it reads and pieces in. Brian and I are hoping to completely go through of ideas that we have from Snohomish County and other counties and implementing it into our code by January. And then our plan is to bring in folks from SWEO for kind of our initial review to further that draft. So Travis, Kim, Mike, Jessica, to get that involvement. And he anticipates that would last about 90 days. So if we start January, February, we're probably looking at about May to have a stakeholder involvement at that point once we really kind of refine things down a little bit more. And Brian was hoping to just kind of let SWAC know that our hope would be that if there are interested members of SWAC who would be interested in like having separate work sessions, like 4 to 5 90-minute sessions over a 3-month period where we could try to work through that code and what SWAC, that way when we do present it moving forward to the board that we have SWAC support in that as well. So, and obviously Rich, with you being the city of Vancouver and also being a SWAC member, I think that you would be a very good person. Specifically.
Well, I'd be happy to represent for the city of Vancouver,
okay.
But I wouldn't feel comfortable representing
both
in one chair. Yeah, okay. So if anybody on SWAC wants to help with that, would be a good opportunity, I think.
So I haven't worked out all the details yet, if we do, do you feel like it might be better to have your involvement, maybe if Brian and everybody's open to that, at the time where Travis's group starts out, or would you rather be involved at the city level when SWAC is involved as well?
So I think there's a couple of questions. So the code really is regional, right? It's for the whole county, incorporated areas, and then incorporated. Mm-hmm. So I think there would be some probably of our our solid waste code that would have some connections. I think it would be good to make sure we're not inconsistent anyhow.
Okay.
Yeah. So say that this code is just for unincorporated.
No, this is for county law. So this is for all cities and for unincorporated areas.
Public
so
health has regulatory jurisdiction within municipalities and in the county.
Okay, so
we're
this
a
code
different than most county entities.
Okay, sorry. So this code covers the whole county, but then the city of Vancouver has their own solid waste
they
code.
They can be more strict,
also,
but not less.
So the interaction with all the communities is going to be very important.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah.
The city of Vancouver is the only one who really has code.
Camas, Washougal, Battleground, they just use your code, that's it.
I think they're under contract. They have a contract with, like, for the garbage service portion, but their code, like, as far as, like, City of Vancouver has a mandatory garbage requirement, and the other municipalities, to my knowledge, do not.
Camas might have some stuff, because they have the solid waste department.
Oh, I didn't know that they had a mandatory.
I can speak to that. Camas does have some level of solid waste code.
Yeah. Okay.
We ran into it with the Boise Cascade issue and a couple other issues.
They have mandatory residential service and things like that.
So I don't like
that.
They have
their own garbage service.
Well, sorry, you're working on the other half of it too. You have the code, that's really nice, but then you have to have the big stick on the other side, you know.
Yeah. I was actually talking with, today I was up in Seattle at a meeting, which the Quad County meeting, which is really mostly the western region of Washington, trying to meet local health jurisdictions, and there were some representatives from Snohomish County, but their struggle with their own code is that they don't have the stick. And so I think that is going to be a big component, is having an enforcement piece that's consistent. We have, around the state, there's been a leaning toward, rather than fines and penalties, to do liens against properties, where you lean and lean and lean and lean and lean, and then someday if they ever sell the property, that's when you get your money back, which is really not effective. There are a few counties, Grant County, one of them, where they would issue citations, and then at a certain point, the county would go in and physically remove all of the, abate the violation for them, and then do the lien based on that. So at least you're getting abatement through the project, and that seemed to be more successful.
So the lack of enforcement statewide is more of a staffing issue, is that mostly what it is, or
it's
what's
more
the
regulatory, that they don't have the enforcement capability, that it really kind of goes to a lien capacity. And you, if you have a non-compliant property owner and you lean and lean and lean, mm-hmm.
they don't really see.
They
it.
Don't really.
Yeah. I'm sure the sheriff will be really happy to take on all these things.
When I worked in Calhoun County from 2000 to 2003, at that time, they solid waste violations were considered a civil infraction. And when we issued a citation as Department of Building Planning, where I was employed, it was a civil infraction. And so I would bring my whole timeline and present, and there was a it was traffic court. I'd wait for all of the traffic court people to finish, which I heard some great stories. And then I would present the case. If the defendant showed up, then they would have a chance to present. If they didn't, then the judge would find in our favor. That very day, we would go out, take new pictures. It would be a whole other set of violations. We'd go through that process. So it would be a $1,000 penalty for the first, $2,000 for the second, $3,000 for the third. The fourth one, our prosecuting attorney would come and represent the county, which was very nice. And our county jail crew, our work crew would come out and remove everything that was junk and debris, which is what I had enforcement at that time. Not necessarily the food waste garbage I have here at public health, but and then we would leave the property for that. Wasn't too many cases that we had to go to that level, but. But the district court got those fees and everyone back to support the time and energy that I have invested in this project.
Well, Well, I'm just afraid that you're going to spend all your time on the right-hand side doing all those laws, and then you're not going to do anything on the other side, and why are we even bothering with it?
Yeah, that'll be part of it, is having that enforcement piece and figuring out what those fines and penalties are. To actually issue a ticket in the field, you're fined $100 for the violation. You have to actually have your staff persons be deputized. So that's a whole separate process. So that's a...
I thought the city of Vancouver does that. No?
Well, our code enforcement is the lead on really any violations of solid waste and nuisance and the whole thing. Building stuff, land use.
But they issue fines. If you have like a garbage debris issue that's been identified as a nuisance, you can get fined for it.
They'll do fines. They try and work with folks first and kind of educate them.
Yeah.
But in the end, they can't do fines. And I think we have a similar thing, 500 or 250, 500, 1,000, and then criminal citations also as an option.
So through that part, we'll have to work primarily with Amanda, who's our prosecuting attorney, to figure out what the county policies are. And
just as an aside, Sheriff Atkins swore me in last night I run around and do the disabled parking tickets, and you have to be a commissioned officer to do that. So I had to hold my right hand up again to just like, she's asked me to apply for the fourth time here. So, busy person.
So it's a process. I think optimistically Brian would like to see that finished by the end of next year. I told him if it's a 2-year process, I would be happy with that. Maybe half a year. Okay. So that's kind of where we are. But you can maybe kind of think about probably next summer, if you'd be interested in being part of that or having involvement in that, we would really value your input. And I can send you the link for Snohomish County's code too, just so you can kind of see what they have in their code, so you can see kind of the direction we might be heading.
Maybe it doesn't matter, but it seems like having the same enforcement mechanism in the county as the city seems like, makes sense to me, but.
Yeah, our roles too are a little bit separated. So as Rich said, city code compliance, their officers enforce everything from building codes to junk and debris to food waste garbage. From public health, I only have regulatory authority regarding food waste garbage. And our solid waste handling facilities. Our code enforcement, which is through our community development program, they have their own code under the nuisance code of Title 40, which is a land use code, and then they have their own means and mechanisms for enforcement, and theirs tends to go that whole means and go before an ordinance examiner, which is $1,500 each time, regardless if you win or lose. So it isn't necessarily profitable for us to go that route.
Gotcha.
Any questions?
Thank you.
Yep, thank you.
Well, good evening. I'm going to keep it brief. For those that might remember me, I'm Julie Gilbert from the City of Vancouver. So my updates for you are, last month I told you we were hiring, and this month I get to tell you, a couple of months, we've hired. So we filled 2 vacancies for analysts. We brought on Liz Erickson, who joined our team in late August, came from Community Environmental Services and got her degree in sustainability from Portland State, background in event recycling, green schools, and being a master recycler in the Portland region. And then Anna Gibb joined our team from Edinburgh, Scotland. So she worked for the municipality that was their own service provider. Brings a great accent and new vocabulary. I just like to be with Lori, and I'm really enjoying learning new words. But she has taken over my previous responsibilities in doing development review, providing technical assistance, and working with code compliance concerns as well. And then in addition, we have a part-time AmeriCorps who joined our team in September, Shane Carter, and he is with us half-time through July, working on outreach and education, largely with the organics program. So moving into the next update, the city with Waste Connections rolled out organics. I'll let Derek kind of sing the highlights of that. But so far, in the month that we have had the service delivered, customers have been excited and enjoying the new service. Surprised about the number of customers who are taking advantage of the smaller, lower-cost carts. But overall, 45,000 customers roughly are in the city of Vancouver have garbage service, and of those, about 21,000 or 28,000 have organics service. So, and that service is growing incrementally, and we're working with Waste Connections to do outreach in the coming months to get new customers on board and to learn about the service and benefit of separating out their food scraps from their garbage. Also, I brought coupons. If you're interested, there's some in the back. This is the program that City of Vancouver, in partnership with Clark County Public Works, puts on every year. It's the free fall leaves disposal coupon. Liz is taking that on, and 1 month into the program, we have 2 more months left to go where residents can use these coupons to get rid of leafy debris and have it composted instead of clogging storm drains or thrown in the landfill. And then right now Vancouver is going through the 2020 rate process, the rate setting process. So we've had a public first reading at council last Monday, and then we will have a public hearing and a second reading of our 2020 rates before council. And then in today's colloquium, if you haven't read it yet, we did our required legal posting of the ads. So if you have your microscope out, get that out. Pretty granular. But on the C section on the front page, it has these connections, pretty pink carts, and then on the back is our legal ads. And we're required by law to post it. Potential rate increases 45 days before notice. And then the last update I have for you is with regards to the trash can ads. It's a pilot project where a private company has approached City of Vancouver Public Works Department about the opportunity to help us address the concern of litter in key intersections across the city. So we've entered into an agreement for a short-term pilot whereby they can at select intersections place trash cans, and the company is Trash Can Ads. They use advertising dollars to fund for the disposal of their product, their material inside, and they're placed at key intersections across the city. They've worked to obtain right-of-way permits to be able to place their receptacles there, and feedback is welcomed and provided, can be provided directly to the company. I can follow up with their contact information and provide it to anyone that's interested. Their website, their name is their email, Trash Can Advertising. And so we will use that information over the next 12 months to inform the decision to go forward or not.
Now, they provide the can, but who does the servicing of the dump? The dumping?
The company does.
They do?
Yeah, so I don't know if I mentioned the cans are dual garbage and recycling. I'm educated about what is accepted in recycling, encouraged to identify clean and proper recycling so they can take it to drop off at our public drop off opportunities. But the revenue generated from the ads that they sell on the side of their receptacles is assumed to pay for the disposal costs. They are paying for the disposal costs. So that's a component of the right-of-way agreement that we have with them. It just says they pilot, is this feasible? There was a community in El Paso, Texas that had this model that they're looking to grow up here and just explore. So again, just a pilot, we like to pilot things in Vancouver.
Yeah. What locations do we have in that now? Are they out now, or are we?
They are out. Our streets and sidewalks inspector, Tommy Renner with the city, has gone out and inspected the, I believe it's 26 approved locations, and it's in over 20 locations. Mm-hmm. Key intersections such as 192nd and First Street, 164th, and then by Van Mall and Van Mall Drive. I don't have all of them, but
yeah,
I can't follow
that's
up.
Fine.
Yeah,
just
they're quite
notable, seen them
square
yet.
Containers. Okay. It would help if I had a picture to show you, but just square. And they, the thing is that the receptacles, when they're placed, be maintained. So that is the agreement that all that are within 50-foot radius be maintained in that area.
So when they come to pick up the garbage from the receptacles, they pick up
around it? They maintain the areas around it, yeah. At any time, citizens or anyone who would see an incident, including yourselves, you're welcome to reach out to the company and provide that information and follow up. But it's our expectation they respond immediately to pick up the litter and not create more litter. Mm-hmm. So, and all the effort to try and understand litter behaviors around litter.
One more question. What was the rate increase for the City of Vancouver for this year, percentage-wise?
It's a range between 2.3% and 5%. It varies based on services. So factors that affect our solid waste rates include tip fee increases, the inflation adjustment factor, which is a blend of CPI and diesel fuel. Our utility tax, the city has a utility tax that applies only to garbage services, gross receipts, and then I'm having a moment. Organics processing, air quality improvements needed at the composting facility that resulted in capital and operational cost increases that we've had to apply our organics rate as well. And the recycling processing surcharge that Clark County reviews and approves. So that's passed through to customers as well. And that information will be made public at our public hearing on the 18th. So. But then we also have, if you're interested in more, I think you'll be all the details. But yeah, thank you. Any other questions? All right, thank you.
So from the Waste Connections report, so kind of start with operations side. So obviously the biggest thing we've had, other than the dam being down for a month, which was a real fun time, the organics program in the city of Vancouver. So it's been a successful rollout. I think there was we talked about it this. I think this spring was the last time we talked about it. SWAC, because it's the last one. But so we rolled out to 28,000 homes. About 7,000 to 8,000 of those are on-call customers. The other portion are regular, recurring service. We gave everybody, I think we showed you, but we gave them a pail, a couple of bag options you could use for in-home service, and some literature on how to properly use it. And kind of what we heard through the process was, it's hard to tell because the one call that you get is the most important thing in the world, but you got to remember there's 28,000 customers out there. So, but we did get a number of calls from people that didn't want the pails. A number of people thought the pails were their bi-weekly service, so they're trying to figure out how to get all their food in this pail for the next 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And I had to go through it with a couple of customers directly that know you take it out to the curb and put it in the cart, and so they're like, oh, okay. So we worked through that. The on-call customers have had some heartburn over the removal of on-call service, obviously. But we really haven't lost many. I apologize. I owe Julie customer counts. I just remembered I didn't get that to her today. So I can get customer counts out there. But we really haven't seen a whole lot of movement. We do have a number of people that are opted for a smaller size than that's available. So we're doing 20 gallons, 32 gallons, 64, 96. In the past, it was just 64 and 96. We're getting some people migrating down to the smaller carts. And we're adding a number of customers, too, that didn't previously have it for one reason or another. They wanted to do just food waste, and that was the reason we had that smaller size. So I think all together it's been a really successful rollout. The material is going out to Dirt Huggers in Dallasport, Washington, and the reports from them is that the material is extremely clean, and they're very happy to have it. They said that it's to the point where they're trying to figure out how to kick out some of their existing customers to make room for more material from Clark County because they're really excited to have it. So, and they've graciously given us a little bit of a price break because of the quality of our material as well, which helps out. They're not having to pick as many things out of it. But it looks really good. So we got a kind of a first month report from our, we have two individuals who are recycling advocates and they're out checking carts. You know, they sent me an email yesterday that said they checked 3,354 organics customers in the first month. 5% of the carts had visible contamination in them. And the contamination in general was things like plastics, dog poop bags is a big one. I think that's the number two. So plastics and then dog poop bags are the biggest contaminations. And then you get dirt and rocks and everything else, and that's just more of an education. So it'll be good to use that information to tailor some more outreach materials as the year progresses or into next year. Excuse me. And they said 28% of the carts contain visible food waste. And they're just tipping the cart. They're not digging in, obviously. But on the top level there, they're seeing about 28% of the carts that they looked at had food waste in them. And I can get that info out as well. Any questions on the organics program?
Yes. When we went to Dirt Huggers, you know, you were hauling only one truck a week up there with complete with food.
One a day.
One a day.
Yes.
What's it look like now?
It depends on the. So when we first rolled it out, it was just before the lease started. Mm-hmm. So we were doing the equivalent of about two trailers a day or two. We changed what we used to do it in one trailer, now we do it in two smaller oversized boxes, so we're doing about 2 loads a day. And then with the Leafs now, it's gone up to about 3, maybe 4. And I think there's a chance we could be up in the 5 range right now. And then, you know, in December, it'll just drop off to almost back to probably 1 a day or something like that. That's kind of what we're anticipating.
You can't really blame the dirt and the rocks on the food waste, though. They're
no,
going to be
it was already there.
They're going to be in
yeah. there. The dog poop was already there, too.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Your favorite is for it.
Yeah.
But it's a good for us to be able to think about that and do some outreach on that. So we have had other communities express interest in doing it. Ridgefield wants to do it. Camas wants to do it. We're kind of telling everybody hold off until we have a chance to get through our first growing season in the city of Vancouver, which will be, you know, next April, May is a real big spike, and we'll see how that goes, and then, you know, we can kind of get our heads around whether or not we can allow additional municipalities in the program.
I take it Dirt Record has no problem getting rid of their finished product.
No, they don't. They've actually, interestingly, they came in and met with the city as well, and, you know, they were asking, you know, they'd love to figure out a way to get the material actually back to Vancouver, to the Clark County market, just kind of close that loop. That would be something of interest. They don't have a lot of customers out on this side. So they're selling everything they have right now, but they're always looking for additional opportunities. And I think they're also looking ahead to the spring when they have even more, and what do they do to make sure that they have got an outlet for that. But they have a, my understanding is they have a pretty premium product in general. Let's see, so organic's a big thing. Other operational stuff that we're working on. Winter weather is a big thing for us, obviously, so that's going to be taking a precedent here in the next couple weeks. We're hoping for a nice warm winter, but it'll probably snow on the day after Christmas, knowing our luck. So we continue to make sure we have all of our... We have a process down pretty well, so any kind of service disruptions shouldn't be too bad. Rates was already discussed. We're working through that. We're doing a lot of outreach right now, obviously surrounding the organics program. Then we're also working on the recycling contamination, kind of trying to understand what that's going to look like going forward. So working with the county and city as far as what the understanding should be of what is contamination, what do we do when we see contamination, and all those kind of other pieces. Recycling markets are generally in good shape right now. Prices are still heavily depressed, but there's additional mill capacity, as we understand it, coming online heading into 2020 that should hopefully help prices start to appreciate up a little bit. We have that recycling processing surcharge that it's about $1.75 to $1.90 home per month right now, and that's because markets are so depressed and we're having to slow everything down to process it. That, you know, number could come down a little bit in the future if prices escalate. So, and that's our hope. We did actually send some material through China and Indonesia this week for the first time in a long time, and we'll see how that goes. The pricing is not great on it, but it's another outlet for the material, so that's good to open up those doors again. And last couple things, we have our events. We just got done with the Pink Lemonade Project for the month of October. We made a big push on selling carts. We sell pink carts. I think we do it for $100 a cart. You get to keep the cart, and then you know, the proceeds go directly to the Pink Lemonade Project. So we buy the cart and then give them all the proceeds. And we had a really good response on that. I don't know exactly how many we've sold yet, but we had a lot of neighborhoods go out and purchase, you know, entire blocks worth of carts. So it was a great event. So. The Pink Lemonade folks came in last week to give us a little thank you for that, which was nice. And then we have our bike build is our other big event that we'll have coming up, and that's going to be in December. And that'll be over at SE Inc. again. And I don't know how many bikes we're going to build this year, but I think we're trying to top 1,000, so it'll be another big event. So.
So are there other... are there a lot of counties that are starting to sell to China again, or is it...
It depends. You have to have really clean material, and not everybody has really clean material. Yeah. So it just kind of depends on where you're at. Like,
I mean, if we're the only in the country, that'd be amazing.
Don't do that one. I think
Redemptive Sword. Can't remember what the name was. The name of the Chinese palm.
Oh, it's China Sword or whatever. Yeah, yeah, the green fence. I don't know. Seattle's a different market because they allow coffee, you know, because Starbucks, they allow coffee cups in to a lot of the material. It's really hard to sort that out and clean it up enough. So I really don't have a good sense of who all's in there. I know that it's not much, so
yeah.
It's hard to get.
A little technical thing on the food waste and the yard waste. Like during the summertime, like flies start getting big and stuff.
Right.
And I don't know if this is follows policy or not, but I'll put like a piece of cardboard or a piece of paper.
Mm-hmm.
Like after, but I don't know if that's even if you're supposed to do that. I know my home compost.
Yeah, if home area, it wouldn't matter. But you know, we'll have to look at it. We'll talk to dirt huggers some more and see what they recommend. They probably got some good information on every other week programs. You know, our message has been food only because we don't want the scope creep on it.
Yeah.
And as Lars Larson told everybody, we're requiring people to freeze their garbage now. Because we did put a recommendation on it that said, you know, ways to reduce the odor are to keep it in a cool environment.
Uh-huh.
You know, if you have the space, put it in your freezer until it's service day or do something like that.
Gotcha.
The food waste, not the entire garbage. But we got some calls, of course, as soon as that
came out.
So I went back and listened to the thing. It was a quick little blurb. Somebody had called in and complained that we were telling everybody they had to freeze their garbage. Of course, he didn't do any research. He just said, yeah, they're telling people to freeze their garbage in Vancouver.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's got to be some. It's going to be a problem next year, definitely.
Yeah. So I'll put a piece of cardboard on the bottom of the pin and then put the food waste on top of that.
Right.
But I don't know if I think that's kind of breaking protocol, but I'm not sure.
Yeah. You can do it. We're not going to tell anybody else.
Anything else we're going to do over? Hazardous waste project update?
Yeah, so Jessica was able to make it today, so she will present at the following meeting.
Okay. You're next.
I'm next. So I have a little activity for y'all. And we're going to be going out with our RFP soon for our curbside residential recycling collection program. Connections have that contract. And so I have a little activity for us to get feedback, being representatives from a swath of interests in our community, hoping to get some feedback today. I have a briefing document that we'll kind of go through tonight as we do this activity. And then if you could grab a post-it note, and you can use one of these Sharpies, or you can use your pen, whatever you want to do. Whatever post-it note color calls you. Thank you. the eye contact when you're ready. So I never go. So it's hard to know if you're just reading ahead.
Yeah.
Or
you told us we can't.
Yeah. All right, ahead. But we're pretty limited in scope. That's it. So what I did actually in our solid waste group to make it a little bit more fun, but I won't, like, I'm not going to completely put you through this activity that I put them through. But I kind of just the idea of, like, in a way, for renewing our vows with recycling. And I am your wedding planner. So please tell me what you want, what you need. Like, do you have to have a three-tiered cake? Or can we explore different options? Right. So please tell me what your demands are and also what you're okay with being flexible with. Yeah. Each category I made, like, something really different. Yeah. I thought I'd skip that. So we'll just focus mostly. But it's kind of a good way to kind of think about it. You know, a couple of questions. So the contamination plan, if you could, you can write on your sticky notes things that you see on here that you would like to continue with, changes, or even fresh ideas that you have. So you can go ahead and read through this contamination bin. And I also included some notes where it says discussions of some things that popped up that I wanted to mention that our staff group or public works directors had mentioned in their meetings that we wanted to change or update. And first, does this make sense? So you write on your sticky note and then pass them forward to me, and we will put them up here and then talk about those different elements that we've come up with.
I think the contamination plan is good, required to have something like that. Mm-hmm. I wonder if you might give an option to, if they would propose something that would be maybe, I don't know, either innovative or different, or mm-hmm. strategy they'd like to do. Like, maybe it would be charging people extra for contamination, or leaving carts, or offering a remedial training class to be able to get their cart back, or something like that.
Do you want to write on the
okay.
Great idea.
And then I skip this part, but the timeline, after I get everybody's feedback from this, and I'm already kind of put together the feedback from our staff and our public works directors, I'll incorporate that into our RFP that we release. But once we get into that process of releasing the RFP and doing contractor selection, it's not too late to get that feedback. So I really encourage you tonight to come up with any fresh ideas you have, or in the next few days, do email them to me as soon as possible.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you can just pass them forward to Amber or myself too.
Is it appropriate to share any of Sveo's ideas? Because I don't know, it seems like I could benefit from hearing their ideas and I'd get other ideas.
Well, really, so another thing to think about too is there's the contract and there's what's in the RFP. So RFP is more high level, whereas the contract, when we go to contract negotiations, really where we're getting into the really nitty gritty details. So don't get too hung up on specific details unless you really, really, but it might not be possible to include that in that. So it's like, we shall have a contamination plan that shall have X, Y, and Z. But let's not get too worked up in this. But I mean, what you see here, so it's basically what our ideas were. So like, we just put in this extension back in June 2019 for the contamination plan, and this is what's already in there. So that it kind of is what our ideas are. Only instead, we will be making it a formal program that's part of the contract instead of this amendment. Because right now, the county actually funds for part of the staff person that's doing cart tagging, because in our contract, we don't have that already embedded. So we want to formalize the program and get embedded in
it. So these correction cards, they get three, after three denied collections, shall notify director.
Yeah, and I don't think we've ever
this is what we're working on.
Done that. And if that's for, it's put in, this would be status quo contract currently in there. And it's more for like that extreme customer. Like, it is literally for diapers.
It was literally for what?
Diapers.
It's just like, yeah. Like garbage, is there recycling? Is there recycling?
Yeah.
Is there garbage?
It's for that, like, extreme customer.
Right.
Yeah.
But my question is really what the lines are. Wow, the director would get notified.
Yeah.
So what?
Yeah.
And to me, I mean, when I think about, yeah, you've got to have a contamination plan. I mean, we know what's happening even with a contamination plan. We're having problems.
Yeah.
How do you, you know, are there ways that we should be thinking about to make it better or more efficient or have more teeth or, because for me, when I think about this recycling and what's happening with our inability to send our recycling bubbles out, it all comes back to contamination. This is a huge fish.
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, what idea do we have to make a contamination plan to have maybe more teeth that notify the director? You know, something that really, maybe we send them down to the MRF for a month to clean out the screen.
Well, whatever, you believe this, I would write that down.
Whatever you think would work.
It's good
for
contamination.
Yeah.
Public stocks.
Yeah.
Right there, that's your short part. By the fountain, by the clock. Yeah.
Oh, wow. You want those calls, I'm sure.
Yeah. Okay. So kind of, what's written in the language is it's like Waste Connections notifies the director because there's another clause where the director can give approval for Waste Connections to not have a service a customer anymore. But they can't just stop service to a customer. They have to go through the whole process for the director to allow them to not service a customer anymore. That's kind of what I think.
So if you think about an RFP, right, you want to, maybe the RFP is going to specify that we have a contamination plan. Mm-hmm. And that contamination plan should be included in A, B, C, and D. When it comes to enforcement, that's not going to be the collector's responsibility.
Yeah, collector can really only do refusal, you know, tag, refusal service.
Yeah. Tag, like, yeah, refusal at the county.
You can take away the card.
Yeah.
Fill it with garbage.
We talked about, I think I'm allowed to speak to this portion, he told me I wasn't allowed to talk about it, but, yeah, we just sort of throw it around, you know, three tags and then dump this garbage. And they could keep charging. We charge them an extra for garbage. That's kind of a way of have a fine. Yeah. You know, they have to pay the $6 or $7 for an extra
garbage can. Recycling service.
They get to keep the cart still. You know, we don't take the cart away from them necessarily, but they do pay some sort of financial penalty.
Does the recycling truck still pick it up?
Not in that case. No, we dispatch the garbage.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
It's
like, yeah. What if it's paper?
Those are special people.
If you own a pink card, you are not mistreating your pink card.
I know.
Yeah. If you paid $100 for your recycle card, you're
probably
you're
not.
Not intentionally.
I don't think it would be
intentional. There's a lot of people who can tell.
So we're going to bring some of these off.
Which one was that for?
While others are still
waiting. That's a perfect example today. Someone had like a baby gate sitting on top of it.
Oh, yeah. It's plastic, right? Yeah. No.
Okay, so one of these says driver training classes on what's contamination and what's recyclable, and fines for repeat offenders of contamination as part of the plan. And then just speak up if you want to say more if this is your sticky or if you disagree or whatever.
So that was my sticky.
Okay.
And I've asked, like, my driver, I'm like, hey, is this recyclable? And the driver would be like, oh, I don't know, just throw it in there. They'll figure it out. Yeah. And it's kind of like, what's I know you don't want to do that. I'm not going to tell you where I live.
I'll find out.
Yeah, so it's just like having the drivers be kind of a conduit to the community in terms of educating people on, oh, yeah, that is, or no, that should go in your garbage, I think would be a good way to educate people.
Yep.
So I think required classes maybe for the drivers would be something you could put in an RFP. Hey, once a year you have to give your drivers a training session on what's recyclable and what's not. Because
this is single family, not including multifamily.
It includes multifamily.
Okay. And the contamination plan is only single family.
It's both. There is a large focus on single family, but multifamily is included. It's pretty. The contamination, just for your reference, our contamination plan is pretty much identical to yours, except it a few of the fixes.
Progressive response.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah. Otherwise, it's identical. So some of the other things on here is option of innovative crop approach.
Contamination reduction and outreach plan.
Oh, sorry. Oh, that's what you meant, that you were talking about earlier. Okay, I'm writing notes. I know that. And that's giving the option to the haulers to kind of come up with.
Or to come up with a program in addition to the normal tagging. Okay. Wait.
Okay. Yeah, continue the correction card system with real enforcement and continue public education on what can and can't go in the bin. Ensure ability to take recycling can, move it to garbage, and charge more. Better than fines. So the ability to take away the recycling card.
Taking away the recycling card seems to defeat the purpose. I like the garbage part.
Yes.
It's garbage. Paper is garbage.
Optional education and rate reduction for anyone who completes the course and opts into some waste reduction.
That's sweet.
They don't even remember.
I can't hear you.
Oh, sorry. Optional education and rate reduction for anyone who completes a course and opts into some waste reduction. Education to reduce rates on increases to problematic contaminators.
So that kind of goes with, so we have a, I think Michael was up there. We have a problematic contaminator increasing their rate, so then how do we kind of allow them to reverse that?
Oh, if you write your names on the back, please. That'd be great. That way I can follow up with you.
So, we've got curbside recycling, and one of the things they allow is oil containers, which we use, and I change my own oil. The other thing is you can put plastic bags full of batteries. You can set those on top of the cart, so would they allow that? But there's also people that will put soiled paper, it's got food waste on it, or pieces of wood in their recycling cart, neither of which are allowed. So those are things that I wouldn't advocate for because I think it contaminates your line. So
we have a contamination feedback dashboard and interactive feedback at the household level, such as the Zero Cycle program, which we are looking into.
Yeah. Just in case you have to like.
Yeah. Do you want to elaborate on that?
Yeah.
I don't know much about Zero Cycle, but it's an example of a dashboard whereby think about like with your energy meter, you can see a meter and consumption usage, right? So some kind of how to translate contamination in the same way, where your household could be 5 stars, contaminant free cart, or getting there 4 stars, or hey, you really have some progress here, 1 star. Some kind of visual tools to help communicate in a way that can be digested easily. That kind of goes in line with Rich's like innovative way of communicating to the customer.
So the other thing that the program has, we have a glass container, and we'll put that glass container out on recyclable days also. We don't necessarily do it every week because our pickups are twice a week. I mean, we get one, I don't want to say this. We have recycling every other week. We have garbage every week.
And so we'll accumulate glass, and then at some point we'll put the glass container out there, and they'll collect the glass. So we do that also.
We have highlight which neighborhood has the most contamination in the Columbian.
Yeah. Okay. I was thinking about the water bill. I think it's highlighted in the Mercury. Willamette Week highlights the worst with water wasters.
Yeah. They also do a one with electrical rates, like which houses and which businesses use the most energy every year.
Yeah. I don't know if we do it by house, but maybe by neighborhood.
Engage you through social media, recycle right streaming. They are reliable influencers on their family. Any further discussion on this one? I'll take this feedback with me, incorporate it, and I might come back to you with more questions.
Give a free month of garbage bill for attending a recycling training.
Worst idea ever.
Okay, so you go ahead and read the next section about outreach plans and educators, which is kind of related to this last one.
Some of these are the current status quo. What's a recycling disc neighborhood?
Yeah, so that is something, it was the outreach program in the past, but we haven't done for a very long time. And right now, that money is being used for the Wastebusters program.
It was a neighborhood program that I think Waste Connections gave some money out through the contract to the county, and the county had a competition essentially where the most recycled, the neighborhood that recycled the most was given a donation to their neighborhood association.
Mm-hmm. It evolved from the previous city collection contract as well, where we have that language, so evolution has turned into Recycle U, Recycling 101, 201, and walking through the big county hall to promote the all residents.
Kim, this is Ellen and her crew.
Sorry?
The current program is Ellen and her crew. The three, like, today I got something from the Green Educators, and there's three ladies at the bottom of the thing.
So that is, so Ellen is one of the contractually required educators at Waste Connection. And the other two, one of them's our staff, and then our AmeriCorps, that are the other two people on that bottom of that. Okay. So right now there's 1.5 like full-time equivalent employees that are required through this contract for an educator at Waste Connections, and then there's another 0.5 in our directory contract, making that two. And then we have one more from our latest amendment, making that three from the county. And then the city has how many? Police track.
Six.
Yeah, a lot more.
two or three.
For share. Yeah, which we all share.
There's seven total staff funded through various contracts, whether it's the city contract or City of Vancouver contract, Clark County Recycling, Single Family Recycling contract, or the Yardbury contract, those three contracts. And I think even the Sears funds all those educators, right? I can't remember if one of those is Sears.
We just have a
1.5
and 1.5. Okay. Yeah. Everything else comes from the city.
And what is in molded graphics and details for cartons and glass goods?
Yeah, so that's the top of the lid, like the that little sticker that's like
it says no plastic bags, and it says
it's like a photo of what's acceptable or not acceptable.
Do I have that on my bin?
Mm-hmm.
You do?
But your lid's eyes probably open so you don't see it.
I know, right? I kept over it. I know. Storage space for educational materials related to program.
Mm-hmm. So right now Waste Connections provides storage at one of their transfer stations for us to be able to have a lot of our education.
This is electronic storage?
No, physical.
Office
it's
space.
Like a whole, not office space, it's just like it's a shipping container that we can,
shipping container.
Yeah, full of our education, for Recycled Arts Festival, for our school's program, for all of that, so that we do not have space to do that.
But they don't, but the website is what you guys do.
We have our website, and Waste Connections has their website as well.
I never think to go to Waste Connections website. I mean, the thing that I'm thinking about when it comes to this, when it comes to outreach, is I have a particular item, mm-hmm. and I don't know how to, what I can do to get rid of it. And, I mean, the bottom line is I'll go onto the county's website and I'll look around for a little bit. Boy, if I haven't found something in about 5 minutes, you know, I'm mm-hmm. done looking. It's about all the patients I have, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it comes back to the contamination plan for me, mm-hmm. right? And how to teach people to be better recyclers. Okay. Gotta get the app.
Right here.
The Recycle Right.
Recycle Right.
Oh, see, I go to the county's website.
I had a WD-40 can.
Strange trackers.
And I said, can I recycle this WD-40 can? So I go in there and it says, yes, you can if you take the plastic stuff off the top, but now shake it, and if it's got stuff in it, you can't.
And yeah. On the county's website, did you see the A to Z?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm finding it,
Okay, cool.
It's not that I'm not finding it.
Okay.
Yeah. It's that I want to just, who's doing that to make sure that kind of stuff continues.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
what I think about.
Do you want to speak on the A to Z? I mean, do you want an answer to that?
Well, the Waste Connections hauling pays for a portion of the tool that is utilized by the county residents. Recycling A to Z is a database maintained regionally.
So say that again, that first one. So these guys pay part of, because that doesn't say that anywhere here.
Yeah, it's so not you might be at the contract. Or just the good nature of the connection.
I know, I think it's good nature.
Just throw some money out.
The benevolent.
I was told not to say anything.
Yeah, and the conversation. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I would only.
So that's a component I'll probably chime in with Tim on, is make sure it's full owner.
Yeah, whether it's funded through this new contract or funded somewhere. Like,
you want to write that on the sticker?
Yeah, it's a tool that the city, county, Waste Connections, CRC, and the hauling company contribute to. On an annual basis, roughly
$15,000. So we have here targeted internet ads and social media focused ads through all the various social media applications.
not a requirement in the plan. Is there anything else on there that doesn't make sense? So I have the Keep the Neighborhood funding for training and waste busters. Website that's cool and supports the Recollect app. Continuing financial support for Recollect, as we're just talking about, and rewording the recycling language. Get on the app and maintain the app. Purchase 5,000 purchase 5,000 reusable plates that can be loaned to festivals that has their advertising on it. Recycling and food waste.
Recycling and food waste slogans on reusable plates.
So kind of expanding the library
Neil brought up the four billing inserts. I don't know if we're really supposed to comment on the stamp, but we were talking briefly, but most people get their either do auto bill pay or get electronically. So when I get my bill electronically, does the insert come attached? So that might be something, I mean, they have your email address maybe to send an electronic communication with whatever that insert should be. Maybe not with the bill, but as a separate. There's cool stuff about what not to put in your recycle.
I get a Thursday.
Is that okay?
Today.
Of course, it's a great idea.
I get a warning that, you know, the exactly what to put out the next day from the county, or I think it's from Waste Connection. And they tell me what's going on the next time. Of course, I have a calendar, too, to tell me. But, you know, that really helps, too. But there's two, three little ad libs on there, you know, don't put this in there and don't do this, do that, you know.
This one is working in the schools, asking kids to grade their families recycling and ask to help keep the carts clean. And develop a zero waste event certification program. Anybody else have anything else you wanted to add? Let's try to keep that some time.
I think on the organic carts, you guys should get the poop emoji with the no symbol and the poop emoji symbols on your organic.
You know, every time they make a cookie, they get stars, you know, freezing them, stars all over the top.
Right, nice.
I don't know if this makes sense, but the patient cost program. So,
you want to talk?
So, hopefully it makes sense, but basically combining resources and efforts to do cross-program outreach between organizations. So.
Awesome.
Like the, I can think of utilities, for, you know, kind mm-hmm. of just maybe a link connection or
okay.
something electronic. And so. Not very well forethought, but it was there somewhere.
So under the discussion section, up were the staff lines of it. Why do they say required?
So as I said, in this discussion section, in the very beginning when I'm explaining the discussion, how we do this discussion, is to think about what would be a required service that we would ask for through this RFP, or what are just optional things that we're curious about. So as we continue these discussions today, I think good thing to also mention as we talk about I'm kind of taking mental notes on how excited you're about something. That might be a required thing or something we're just curious about. But moving forward, it'd be good to include that. So if we're ready, we can move to the next one.
I can't take it off the wall.
No, I had to. Because mine was just about garbage, not about recycling. I had to read. I want my put a lid on it campaign to actually take traction. So, but recycling containers already have a lid, but the other one. I
know. Oh, UTC.
Someday we'll automate the campaign.
All right. Yeah. It's coming. I think Bridge Building is coming that way. Okay. So we'll move forward to sleep.
If you want to read that section and spend it. Oh, customer service. Okay, customer service. Sorry, I'm going. Kevin always loves to talk about the customer service.
Okay. All right. Well, I
Eric, your main office is off of 117?
Oh, yeah, administrative office. Yes. Yeah. Our yard's on 94.
Right.
Even if they're, so do you want to call for pickup? It won't pick up. Can you pick up? You know, what do you, does it
jive? Hey, Derek, what is the average toilet?
No. Well, since city staff is in the room, it's going to be 30 seconds very soon. It's typically we've had in a goal of under 2 minutes.
Where customer service representative is assigned to all the staff.
Anybody
have anything to add to customer service?
So this is requiring hearing impaired and speech impaired accommodations for folks.
I would add to that, like language, you know, secondary language translation services. And then I also like the staff idea of the online chat requirement. Seems like that's a lot more convenient for people, especially if they're at work. You know, to be able to like, okay, I'm at work, I got to do this billing thing real quick. You can kind of just do it on the side versus picking up the phone with the boss watching is the order. So.
We also had discussions in our staff that it would also help with call times. Because you can chat with like 10 people. You can only talk to one. Unless you're able to put them on hold. But,
I deal with customer service all the time because I'm on call for yard debris and garbage. And I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah, I've had good customer service every time I've got
it. Awesome. Well, we'll move forward if there's nothing else on that. To fleet, now roughly.
This is only recycling, correct?
Yes, recycling, residential, recycling homes, commercial.
What are we talking about? New fleet? We're talking.
All new trucks.
But we just bought new trucks, didn't we?
No.
For recycling. Those were yard debris trucks?
For the yard debris, yeah, those are different trucks for the yard debris contract.
So the bulk of the recycling fleet was purchased in 2009.
Yeah. I mean, there's a few.
Adds over time for the. Yeah.
So what happens to the old trucks if they're not,
Bury them in a lake in Cleveland.
So that's actually one of our follow up questions we wanted to ask you about.
So that's kind of a waste stream issue. And I mean, I know there's maybe somebody who will buy them.
Yeah.
Moses Lake is lovely.
But I know that the arms are so past warranty and some other stuff like that.
Yeah,
like they're old, they're getting. But they can be utilized still in like smaller communities, is what I've heard. But I don't know what you guys would have, which wall would actually do.
Am I allowed to talk on this one?
Yeah, you can talk.
I mean, typically a new contract's going to require, just for consistency and the fact that it's a new contract, they're going to require new equipment, all new equipment. Mm-hmm. And then the equipment from the old contract technically is, depreciated at that point. It's up to the old contract holder to decide what they want to do with it. So. We as a company would probably look to use those. If those trucks are, 10, 11 years old, we'd look to put them in a different municipality that maybe has a similar service level that they could utilize and extend the life on. So those trucks, probably have another five to 10 years on, depending on what you use them for.
Okay.
So you might have to put a new arm on them because that part wears off a little more frequently, but you can still use the truck for somewhere else. Hmm. And we'll get our use of it out.
Repair cafe for the arms.
It's the availability of trucks that use electric or energy use alternate fuels.
Same thing. I was just telling Mike we're actually trying to get away from using CNG here locally, just because the wear and tear on the vehicles is significantly more. They're more expensive, so you wind up replacing parts more frequently. We're replacing engines. After about 10 to 12,000 miles on the current units we have for the yard debris program, when those probably would have been twice that with diesel. And diesel in general anymore, with all the particulate filters they have on those trucks, burns almost as clean as some of the CNG trucks do anymore. So it was built as a cheaper, more stable alternative and quieter.
It's a perception thing today. It's an image thing.
CNG truck costs about $40,000. Plus, we got fuel
on it. What's the average cost for a new truck now?
The split body trucks that we run in Clark County are going to be about $440,000 this year.
And what's the how many in the fleet?
This contract would probably have 18 to 20 trucks in it.
Really?
Yeah. It might be more than that. It might be in the low 20s, I can't remember. Plus, you have to buy a couple spares. So.
Jeez.
Yeah.
So I noticed no advertising on vehicles. What's kind of the thought behind that? Is that pretty common throughout the area? And then.
That's we're like a bus ad.
Right.
Yeah.
So we allow our buses, so why not? Mm-hmm. Allow them to recoup a little bit of the cost.
Well, that's one that I was looking at too. What might be cool on it is incorporate that as part of the outreach program.
Yes. Yeah, that's what the vinyl wrapping is for. The more educational messages on them. And also just getting a cleaner, nicer looking fleet and billboards going around town.
We might be open to things like the Red Cross, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
They typically don't allow, advertising for pay on a publicly contracted vehicle. Mm-hmm. It's either the message for the recycling or some other community that, benefit.
And recognizability with fleet. So that if they needed to report an issue or concern to the vehicle, they have an identifiability.
And on here is installing, there's these guards you can put so that it keeps bikers and pedestrians from going underneath the vehicle. When an accident does occur.
Did you put that in there?
No, Rich put it up at the studio. And then, I guess that is a question for the group about new trucks versus old trucks. And just kind of, I was just kind of curious if there's any thoughts about that. Like, I mean, normally you get an all new fleet that's incorporated into the rates and everything.
Oh, really?
The rate that you pay pays for that truck over that length of time. So technically, the past folks have already paid for these trucks. So they're already paid for. We as ratepayers.
Yep.
But we don't get to keep them.
You can have some of them if you want.
I appreciate it. Anyway.
And the other part, I didn't mention this, going through RFPs in the past, if you don't make up the new truck requirements, you can have somebody that comes in, lowballs the bid, and you get a really cruddy fleet that's leaking oil everywhere around.
I think it's a good requirement. I mean, we only do this every, I don't know when was the last time this went out again for
10
years. So, I mean, if we don't ask for it, and they can keep that fleet for another 10 years, and then, like he says, you're having trucks that are in ill repair and breaking down.
And some level it feels extravagant, but the option just doesn't.
But the other option does the same, you know, to not have it. So I would say that would be a requirement.
Yeah.
That
seems
like not to be labeled, but truck by truck basis. I don't know. Are they all in the same
age and tear and mileage and that sort of stuff?
It does seem extravagant. Since we're solid waste, I think about sustainability and it takes a lot of energy and natural resources to make the new trucks.
Yep.
If the old ones aren't, kicking the curb yet, it just seems kind of contradictory. But what do I know?
On that question, Derek, are there a lot of other municipalities that have shorter term contracts than 10 years that require new trucks? Like, others, or another contract that maybe have some 3-year-old or 5-year-old trucks that you'd be looking to repurpose? Is that something that would be beneficial here?
A shorter contract?
5-year trucks, and then trucks are replaced after 5 years? That's what you're thinking?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I couldn't. Like, there's a million different pros and cons of each version. So, in theory, if you've got a company that's well run and they know they've only got 5 years of return on the truck, they're still going to get their return on the truck, and it's going to double your price. So, the consumer will pay for it one way or another.
Yeah, effectively right now, it's at the 10 year. Every 10 years, the contract goes out. You've got a max age of 10 years on the fleet. Or maybe that's increased to a 10-year contract, but max age is 15, meaning you could start with a 5-year truck.
Yeah.
Then move. Mm-hmm.
Well, we can look into it further, just to see if there's other jurisdictions that have done something. I mean, it's worth looking into. Curious about it, because we thought about that, too, in our staff meeting, but we couldn't really come up with anything besides what is normally the best practice, is to get a new fleet, especially for these longer-term contracts, which we prefer to have a longer-term contract. The costs are spread for longer, so you get a better rate. And then the holders also guarantee that longer time, so it's better for them too, so they can offer a lower rate.
Typically, you'd see an extension of the contract, and then that would allow for the trucks to be used longer. Mm-hmm. But then you might pack it up with a not to be older than 15 years or something like that. Mm-hmm. So you can still use your trucks, but you're not getting trucks that are totally falling apart.
Makes sense.
Yeah, Portland does something similar, but they've got 20 franchise haulers, but they put an age limit in. And City of Vancouver did the same thing in their contract, where they have a not to be older than 12 years. 15 years. So there's a requirement. So we were able to utilize some of our existing assets in the City of Vancouver, not have to replace the entire fleet, but we know that we can't have anything older.
So this is a 10-year old fleet right now that is up for replacement. Okay. And then in your from your probably historic, not saying you're old or anything, but what
my kids say all the
time. What are just, I'm curious, what are the optics when the customers see that there's new trucks running around and, you know, they're like already complaining about rate hikes and they, you know, is that noticed by
people? I've never had a customer complain about a new truck.
You know what I mean?
No, yeah, nobody's ever said, oh my God, you guys are buying this stuff all the time and they're charging us for it. They complain a lot when you leak oil on their street and it's there for a little bit. That's a bigger concern.
Yeah. We do get complaints about diesel trucks spilling out diesel fumes everywhere and they're so loud in the morning. And we do get calls about that.
So in rate setting for this, and I did the last contract and finished taking this one on, you have to really look at it from a financial and operational decision-making process. You look at a 10-year-old vehicle and the technology that's in that 10-year-old vehicle versus a brand new one today. And particularly what Derek said about the emissions of the diesels, when we bought this fleet, that was all new. There was all kinds of problems with it. And they've worked all that out. And now you've got a clean vehicle, a lot more safety features, cameras, and you know they're going to be safe in the neighborhood. And then you can take that, and over that 10-year life of that, you generally try to match the depreciation schedule for your vehicles, your containers, to the length of that contract. And that's why you get those longer contracts in most municipalities. I mean, some do shorter, but really you're putting a lot more onus, as Derek mentioned, on the rate there to recapture the value of that quicker. And it's the same thing we leave in the county. It's only going to run for so long. If you've got an equipment and rental and repair schedule, because they're out the door. And they're sent out to auctions. And that's just really common. In this case, they might go to a smaller community, or they can serve as backup vehicles as we buy the new ones. So it's usually, what's the lead time now, Derek? Is it about 7 months?
Yeah, I mean, we've got an order slot set up for next summer. Sort of in 6 to 9 months, depending on the complexity of the truck.
They come through a lot of abuse. It's not like just driving a car on top.
Yeah, a rock truck serves about 1,000 customers a day. And they're not designed, garbage trucks are not designed to be garbage trucks. They're designed to be more of an over-the-road type truck because they don't make, Freightliner doesn't really build a garbage truck. They take their over-the-road truck and they add a body on it and you use it as that. So they do take a lot of abuse with the braking and the cost of stops and the alarms. Yeah.
Well, there must be some economy of purchase too if you're going to buy 20 of them at a time. You're not paying $2 zillion for each one then.
So I'm going to go ahead and skip the compensation section. This is something we're going to look at internally, some different models, and possibly even bring in a consultant. Right now we have a really messy way of figuring out the compensation, so we want to make it more streamlined. But if you have any feedback on that, just you can email me. So I want to focus on the next section, materials collected, and then there's two other sections I'd like to feedback on too, so we'll try and make this quick so we can get you out on time. This one's pretty straightforward. It's just what's currently in a contract that we collect and some additional things that we're already thinking about adding on. So if there's any feedback on that.
So if there's input to remove some of these items, this would be the time to say that.
Yep, you can write it on sticky. And change compensation to.
Thank you.
Is there anything to add there in regards to like the paint legislation that was passed? In that curbside? It's not curbside.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Curbside?
Yeah.
What's some required remove shredded paper and scrap metal from list?
Yeah, so staff recommended we officially, well, we have officially removed shredded paper from the list, and scrap metal has been recommended a number of times to remove from the list because we get things like, you know, wheels and giant pieces of automotive products, and it's really hard to communicate what's acceptable as a scrap metal and what isn't.
And the shredded paper, it's just too
small. It just goes
everywhere.
Yeah. And it doesn't actually get recycled. But because it shreds, it just goes everywhere. It doesn't.
It's confetti.
Yeah, it doesn't make it through.
So the option then is just to throw it away?
So we did open up with Connections. You can go and bring your already shredded paper to any of the three transfer stations to get it recycled. Okay. Or if you go through their shredding service, it also gets recycled. And so one of the things we wanted to look at was, because it is related to contamination, is looking at the hauler potentially sponsoring our shredding day events that we already do a few of the year.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, and it's under discussion. It's in another section. Sorry. There's nothing on that. We'll move forward to the next one. Let's skip reports and data. That's more what, it's pretty good what we're getting, just maybe in a different way. By collection and service levels, this is what we're doing right now. One of the big things that we want to look at for staff, what we're recommending we include and what we will include in the proposal, is proposals that will let us know weekly recycling that we currently do versus every other week. So most of the jurisdictions around here, like the city of Vancouver, do every other week. So we want to look at that. And so we would rotate the furniture.
Can you repeat that, sorry?
Yeah, we want to look at the cost difference of weekly versus every other week recycling collection.
Okay.
Right now we have weekly.
Do you hear about the carts? And
their sizes are included in there. One of the recommendations from our public works folks when we met with them, they were in favor of going to an every other week, but wanted some options for people to get a larger cart if they needed it, and also not getting charged for extras.
Or smaller carts, it says.
Or smaller carts, because we do have people in townhomes or smaller homes where they can't fit a 64, the current size in.
So. Yeah, more options on cart size is always a bonus. I mean,
so you get more than 64, like 32?
Yeah, smaller.
So those were offered during the rollout, a variety of cart sizes by both the cities and the county.
Just still have some
storage.
Yeah, most people go 64.
Mm-hmm.
And this is still residential.
Residential only.
Stand for
every other thing. Okay, that's a thing. I need to put everything
on. Pardon, you can pick up the little ones too.
The 20, we can go as small as this 20-gallon one. We're doing those on.
20 gallons about what a regular garbage can size?
Yeah,
32 gallons can be a normal garbage can. Yeah, and we've actually on the organic one, because of the weight concerns, we actually do a 32 with a 20-gallon insert in it. So the cart can grab a little tighter by the arm so it doesn't fall out, because the organics will slide out. So recycling is lighter, so it's a little easier to do. But we can go as low as one.
You can write it on a sticky weight.
Well, I think I just want to
make
sure I'm reading it right.
Well, you're in the contract. You're not going to, you know, some of these things are not sellable. You're not going to want to pick them up in the car.
Correct.
So that's ridiculous.
because you're just going to have to trash, you know, sort them out. Mm-hmm.
Size for those bigger households, I don't see why looking at every other week if we can get a cost reduction. Mm-hmm. I know, I don't, family of four, we probably fill ours like halfway mm-hmm. each week. Mm-hmm. And so.
And we did do some fullness studies when I used to run the cart tagging a couple mm-hmm. years ago. I had them do for 2 years looking at the fullness of those carts and tracking it. Mm-hmm. So we do have some data on, you know, the differences. And it, my interpretation was that it wouldn't really be too much of an impact, especially if we offer larger carts. So the data's there, too, to support us. Mm-hmm. So if we could move on.
Kim, there's one thing.
Yeah.
Under the status quo, I don't see my garbage service in here, and I can call. You know, I don't have to do, I can do once a month or once every 6 weeks garbage.
Garbage, yeah. So
currently, but you don't have it down here.
Yeah, so this is recycling only.
Okay, but same thing. That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
But I have to call. No, recycling comes in automatically. That's yep. right. Thank you.
Yeah. I know, it's very easy to, we were doing it at our staff meeting, like, we're talking about a transfer station. I'm like, sorry guys, but I can't. So, yeah, the last section, we can skip contract terms and then go to additional extras or additional requirements that we want to ask. So, for example, right now through this contract, we are provided free recycling at all of our county buildings and parks, which is really nice. And then also, we want to remove the ISO certification but require a green business certification for the hauler that we select. Also some improvements with GIS. The shredding events like I mentioned. Also one of our team members mentioned a sustainability center. I don't know if Julie or Richie have been to them, like those Recology Sustainability Center. I have never visited one, but Tina was talking about them. And that was for their contract. Like she was from where she's from. That was really a big thing over there.
We kind of accept the non-curbside material in addition to some non-HHW material, batteries, e-waste, mm-hmm. textile recycling, maybe extra recycling drop-off options.
Yeah, and they also like sell stuff there, like you can get a composter, and reusable bags and all the kind of fun reuse stuff. They also sell it in kind of sustainability, green neighbors-ish center that they can come to.
So with the recycling service at parks. Mm-hmm. I've never seen a recycling bin at a park. What is that?
Yeah.
How is that occurring currently?
Yeah, so it's up to, well, the county park has to decide that they want uh-huh. recycling time to mm-hmm. begin with. And a lot of the parks, due to staffing issues or vandalism or whatever, yeah. have opted to not have them there. But some of the more well-visited parks, at like, I think with Jensen, mm-hmm. I don't know which one's off the top of my head.
Yeah.
They do have recycling service there, and then it's provided for free when our parks department opts to have recycling at the locations.
What's the contamination rate of those places?
It can be bad.
Yeah.
It can be bad. That's another reason. You know, if you have an empty bin, you might not want recycling there.
Yeah.
Especially if it's not, well...
Like at Frenchman's Bar, I've gone in there and cleaned that up a dozen times, and they don't... you know, it's got lots of containers, but you just throw everything in. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I have a question. So on the public works director notes, I guess these are household waste collection events that Yakol with the possibility to expand as needed, expand to other towns.
Yeah, it was something that was brought up because there is like batteries and oil collected on the side. We have these. I'm kind of skeptical if this is really in the scope of this contract, but it was brought up that, you know.
Like we used to have.
Like we used to have, and it was later part of that.
So it says optional. So is that at the discretion of the...
So we would put it in, if we were to put it in the RFP, it would be, we're curious how this would affect the rates.
Because I know on the small town side, particularly Le Centre, which is where I am, the council was at the point where they did not want to participate because they were upset about the staff costs of you know, their staff having to be present. So, but on the other hand, the citizens of the town were upset because it wasn't happening.
So this is kind of the opportunity in this extra section for any of those wild ideas, like a reuse center, or like anything that's within the scope though of residential recycling and the programs that are currently offered or would help the community.
Neighborhood composting stations.
Well, you gotta pay for all this stuff. And the rates are going up the way it is.
Well, if you have further input, please email me. The sooner the better, so that as I drop the RFP.
So I have a question. So the RFP, the schedule's okay. Do you expect a lot of competition in this RFP?
Potentially, yeah.
Really, like 3, 5, 8?
Probably. Like, I don't know.
Three on the plan holders list.
Yeah.
The college is in town now, so we'll see. There's probably 4 on the plan holders list.
And so people can be competitive against the incumbent?
That would be correct. That being said, some of the competitors have gone to this remote call center. So in other words, they have a call center in Arizona or India.
So they don't have a local office.
That's correct. And one of the things that was mentioned here is that we will be requiring all the personnel and the truck yard to be within Clark County. So it will be limited entry to the firms that can't afford to do that.
How many recycling operators are there in the Portland metro area?
There's a lot.
There's like 30 or 40 commercial haulers in Portland. A lot of them just do commercial. They don't do residential. I think there's maybe 20 franchises in residential.
So a little detail there, like, so you said that we've been putting money aside through our rates to pay for this next fleet. Where is that money?
It's incorporated in the rates to pay for the fleet. Over the time of the contract.
Okay, so we haven't been saving that over time.
It's like
the incumbent fronts the money that's reimbursed.
Yeah.
Okay.
The county does own the cars. At the time, that was a $2.7 million investment.
Yeah.
So it's just gone up since then. This is our system.
Did you
want to,
I mean, for those that need to leave?
I really don't have much to offer on the regional system study right now. I've been out of the office. I've had a close encounter with the freight planner on 405 a couple weeks ago. Freight planner.
I can't even hear, so I technically
might
one.
You got a
gnarled one. I also want to video an opportunity.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you had a comment.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't have a lot more to say. I just gave in case Melissa had questions. You'd have to share some information earlier today. The main item being the compost collection is how much is left. And it's about 1,400 out of the original 6,000 or 8,000 yards from this spring. So the majority is gone. It's on track to be completely gone probably before next flag day. This is a quarter of the rest.
Excellent. Well, that's all for us. If you want to adjourn the meeting,
I'm ready to go home.